Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It is 8:22, and it is a Friday morning, which means it's Hancock and Kelly time. Good morning, Michael Kelly.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and it's a especially happy Friday for me because I'm without Hancock.
Aww.
He's on his trip to England, you guys, to go see the snooker championships.
Snooker.
Weirdo.
Maybe he'll send some video. I'm kind of interested to see
He said he was going to send me some pictures from there, so I will pass those on, and I'm sure we'll be listening to snooker stories for the next 10 years here on the Voice of St. Louis.
Well, filling ably in for John Hancock is political consultant Gene Evans. Thanks for being with us. Oh, wait, let me turn your microphone on. There you go.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
All right, well, let's start with, since we have both of you here, presidential immunity. This is a very interesting conversation. Should a president be able to literally get away with murder in office and not face prosecution?
Maybe. I mean, it depends, right? And I think that's what the court's going to try to figure out. Of course not. He shouldn't be able to get away with it. But the reality is presidents do order people's deaths around the world, and that has to be protected. And I think that's the question the Supreme Court will navigate. Based on what I heard yesterday, and all the smart people who follow the Supreme Court are saying, it's likely that the president will still be held accountable for January 6th, but because of the process here, this will be delayed and that trial won't happen until after the election. So that stinks, but at least this will get adjudicated, and I think the president will eventually be held accountable.
Gene?
Well, I do think it will get sent back with some parameters. Like you said, Michael, I think that there are some things that the president does need to be immune from, and you don't want to be in a position where you're constantly having folks go after former presidents because they disagree with them. However, they can't get away with anything, right? They can't be above the law to just willy-nilly do whatever. So it was interesting that a lot of the questions the justices asked yesterday had to do with the long-term implications of whatever decisions they made. So they're not looking at this just in a vacuum of this one case. They're looking at the impact of their decisions and how they will impact going forward, because this is going to be a monumental, whatever they decide, even if it doesn't seem like a big deal, it's going to be a big deal because there hasn't been a ruling on this that I'm aware of, not in our lifetimes.
Well, I want to ask about another issue, which is all these protests on campuses right now over the war in the Middle East. I'm a little perplexed at why there's so much anger about this. The pro-Palestinian protesters. In fact, USC canceled its graduation ceremony because of this. Columbia's had huge protests. Other campuses doing the same thing. There wasn't this kind of anger over Ukraine. And people who are Jewish are saying they're a little bit afraid to go on campus now because they feel like there's some anti-Semitism spilling over. What say you?
It sounds like you were at my dinner conversation last night, because this is exactly the conversation we were having. I was like, okay, I understand people don't like war, and I also understand they don't like the fact that the Israelis, but I've never seen this kind of a pushback, and I was quizzing my mother about, tell me about the 60s and the 70s, is this what it was like? But it just doesn't make any sense to me, and you can't help but think that there's not the undertones of anti-Semitism in this. Although I've watched a lot of the interviews of most of these kids on some of these college campuses, even at NYU, they don't fully understand why they're even protesting.
I think that's part of it.
And so I guess could this just be a movement to be a movement? Maybe so, but there's dire consequences here. And, I mean, it's not just a small fire happening at one or two colleges. There's dozens of them across the country.
Yeah, it does look like there's some sort of organization and money that has infiltrated this. So I think that we, you know, we need to look at this through a different lens. I also saw a statistic recently that like over 60% of high school students don't know anything about the Holocaust. So if we're not teaching our young people about the Holocaust and they're denying that any of this ever happened, they don't understand it. I do want to point out, though, that I think Wash U in town has done a great job. They have protests there every day. We hardly hear about them because they haven't gotten out of control. I know there were some issues recently, but they've been having protests there on a daily basis, and they have managed to keep them under control, letting people express their freedom of speech without infringing on other people's rights, and that should be commended.
But I am concerned about the issue of potential violence here.
Absolutely.
Kent State keeps popping in my head when I'm seeing these protests on TV.
Yeah, I mean, college students being arrested and dragged off. I understand the anger over this war, but I am... This may be totally off base. I'm a person who thinks I love TikTok. Like it is my dog video go to. But even my daughter, you know, the things that she knows about this war are heavily influenced by TikTok. And if you watch a couple of videos about college kids protesting, then that is your whole feed then. And so I think a lot of young people, they haven't learned the history, as you said, Jean, and they don't know the history of what's happening there, but they see a whole lot of angry stuff on TikTok. And I do think that that heavily influences a younger generation.
Yeah, and it can't help but, I mean, I see it in my own little Twitter world, the feed and how the algorithm's feeding you stuff. And it does, you know, I haven't really understood this whole TikTok ban, and I know that's a separate conversation. But it has come to me because there is no doubt that people are pushing content to you. And if TikTok's using it for those purposes, maybe that's part of the reason we're dealing with this.
But it also indicates that there's probably some money in an organization about it because they are flooding the airwaves with TikTok videos. So if you watch TikTok, you're seeing a ton of information and that's organized, right? So somebody, you know, we work in the field of influence. Somebody is using that to influence young people, and I think that's what we really need to find out.
Could be the Russians.
Could be.
What do you guys have coming up?
Well, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court conversation yesterday. We're also going to talk Title IX in college sports. And did you know there's going to be 62 billion cicadas in the city of St. Louis alone? Think about that, 62 billion, that's insane.
Get the earplugs ready.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.